turn to the book of 1 John, book of 1 John, chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4. I'd like to read verse 10, verse 19, two very familiar verses of Scripture. In verse 10, we read, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Verse 19, "We love Him because He first loved us." Both of these verses are very, very plain, very, very clear. Should be no doubt in anyone's mind what these verses are saying. And both of these verses declare the fact of God's love. We see in verse 10, He loved us. In verse 19, He first loved us. And John here declares also not only the fact of God's love for us, but he also declares our love for Him. And he tells us that our love for Him, God's love, is the cause of our love for Him. Not that we loved God, but that He first loved us. And then again, that's emphasized in verse 19. What those verses teach us is that our love for God, cannot, under any circumstance, be the cause of His love for us. Because His love for us is pure grace, pure mercy. There's nothing in us that can in any degree be the reason for God loving us. There is nothing about us. There is nothing that we can do to cause God to love us. Not that we love God, but that He first loved us. In other words, God and God alone is the cause of His own love. He loves us because He chose to do so. He loves us simply because He wanted to. Now, the reason for our love to God is different. We read here, we love Him because, verse 19, because. That is, we love Him for this reason. And then it gives the reason. He first loved us. Now we know that the law of God commands us to love God. We are commanded by God's law to love Him. But the law of God never has, never will produce love to God. There's only one thing that will produce love to God, and that's God's love for us. Not that we loved Him, but that He loved us. So even though the law commands us to love God, the law does not produce love for God. No one loves God simply because the law commands them to do so. In other words, love to God is not self-produced. It's not something that we can produce. It's not something that we can work up. It's not something that we can just determine to do by the power of our will. It all goes back to God. No one loves God because they determined to do so. You do not love God simply because one day you decided that you loved Him. love God because of Him. It all goes back. He's the first cause. So the reason and cause of our love to God is we love Him because, for this reason, He first loved us. Now, not only did we not love Him first, it's not a, the big issue here is not so much who loved who first. That's very plain. God loved us first. There should be no question about that. But not only did we not love Him first, we didn't love Him at all. We did not love Him at all by nature. And no man has ever loved God by nature. You hear people say every now and then, well, I've always loved God. No, you haven't. No one has always loved God. You weren't born loving God. You were born at enmity to God. So, we didn't even love God, whether first or second. We didn't love Him at all. But when we did love God, it was because He loved us. In other words, He first loved us. So we never did, nor could we ever show love to God while we remained in our state by nature. So love to God, our love to God, is the response to His love to us. That's what these two verses teach us. And we're going to speak this evening on the love of God and the response due to it. The response due to the love of God is only one, that we love Him. That is the response due to the love of God, that we love Him. So two facts are stated here, God's love for us, our love for God. First of all, consider God's love, the fact of God's love. Again, God's love today has been so misdefined that it's almost meaningless to most people. But God's love to sinners, God's love to mankind, is the most amazing of all love. It is sickening when someone tries to compare human love to God's love. Don't even go there. There is no comparison. None. The most amazing love of all is God's love for a sinner. So the very words, He loved us, those three words, when we read those words, He loved us, it ought to make us stop. It ought to make us stop right there and just think about that. He loved us. Those are amazing words. There are no more amazing words than those three words, He loved us. So those are amazing words. Not only are they amazing words, they are mystifying words. He loved us. If you know anything about God and you know anything about man, that is quite a mystery. How could God, how could holy God love sinful man? How can He who is infinitely holy love one who is entirely sinful? He loved us. It's amazing. It's also somewhat mystifying. He. You need to think about He and you need to think about us. And because that is the only way you can possibly understand how amazing this love is. He and us. He whom the heavens could not contain loved us. He whom is all sufficient. He needs nothing. He needs nothing of us. There are not too many people that you are going to love if they bring absolutely nothing to you. Our love is very conditional. Human love is very conditional. Very much so. So it's hard to understand from a human standpoint how God could love us who has absolutely no need of us whatsoever. He needs nothing of us, and we bring nothing to the table. Nothing. Not one thing. And he's just fine without us. But yet, God loves us. He whose glory is the astonishment of all heaven. All the angelic host is astonished by the glory of God. And yet we don't read of God loving the angels. I'm not saying he doesn't, but we don't read of that. We read he loved us. He loved us. God loved us. Now, if all of mankind loved you, if everybody in the world loved you, if all the spiritual beings, all the angels loved you, it's nothing compared to those three words. He loved us. There's nothing that can compare to the fact of God's love for us. So those words are amazing. Those words are somewhat of a mystery. Those words are words of great wonder. He loved us. Those are words that ought to cause us to marvel. And again, if you know anything about the depravity of man, if you know anything about the depths of human depravity, the more amazing God's love is. A lot of these folks today that run around, all they want to talk about is God's love. They have no idea how sinful man is. And until you have some idea how glorious God is and how sinful man is, you don't really understand the love of God. And those are the same individuals that try to bring the love of God upon a human level so that we can understand it. But anytime you bring the love of God down upon a human level, it's blasphemy. And you have taken away the meaning of God's love. So it the wonder of those words, he loved us. God's love to sinners not only is the most amazing of all love, it is the most unique of all love. It is a love that is unprecedented. There is absolutely nothing ordinary about God's love for sinners. In fact, his love is so unique that no human being can possibly adequately describe it. You cannot describe God's love, not adequately. There's not enough words to adequately define his love for us. The uniqueness of his love is seen in those two words again. He and us. Also, the uniqueness is seen in the fact that it's an eternal love. God never started to love me. Never. If he did, then it wouldn't be eternal. His love is eternal. That is, God has always loved me. Always. He didn't start loving me when I was born. He didn't start loving me when I was conceived. There wasn't some time before the foundation of the world that he started to love me. He's always loved me. There never was a time when he didn't. And there will never be a time when he doesn't. That's eternal. It is a love without beginning. All human love has beginning. It is a love without beginning. It is a love without ending. So it's unique in the fact that he loved us. The he and us makes it unique. It's unique because it's unprecedented. There's no love like it. It's unique because it's eternal. And here's the part that man just has a very difficult time understanding. It is unique because it is uninfluenced. There's nothing we did to influence God's love. There is, again, no cause for God's love outside of himself, outside of his own will. In other words, nothing outside of God moved God to love you. God did not love you because he loved your dad or your mom or your grandmother or your grandfather. There's nothing outside of God that caused him to love you. There is nothing in you. There is nothing that you would ever do. God didn't just look out in the future and see that you would do certain things and fell in love with you. There was nothing you could do. I mean, it's the height of arrogancy to think that I could do something to cause God to love me. Something that would, if I could do something to cause God to love me, would that not mean that I am then worthy of God's love? And if I am worthy of anything from God, it's no longer grace. If I'm worthy, it's works. God loves me. God loves you. There is nothing outside of himself that caused God to love you. There is absolutely nothing in us. There is absolutely nothing outside of God that prompted God, that caused God to love us. This is a very basic truth. To me, it's as plain as the noonday sun all the way through the Word of God. But very, very few people believe it. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, God declares this fact to the nation of Israel. In Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, that's the reason that he chose. Not because he saw that you would choose him. If he saw that you would choose him, there's no need for him to choose you. It has nothing to do with anything in us. Is it not the height of pride to think that there was something in me that attracted God to me? There's nothing. There's nothing in me. There's nothing in you that would attract God's love. In fact, it's just the opposite. Everything about us is a reason, humanly speaking, for God not to love us. That's why, again, people do not understand. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And we've said this so many times. They have all this problem with God hated Esau. That shouldn't be the problem. If there's any mystery at all in that verse there in Romans 9, it's not that God hated Esau. But how could God love Jacob? It's not how could God hate someone, but how could God love? He Any one of us. So it is the most unique of all love. He loved us while we were guilty, while we were depraved, while we were vile and filthy, while we were abominable to God, and while we were living in enmity to God, living in hatred toward God, living in rebellion against God, with nothing to offer Him. And He loved us. We were living under the power and the pollution of sin, hating God. And again, there's a lot of people today who would deny that they ever hated God, because in their mind, they never hated the God that was in their mind. But you did hate the God of the Bible. You may not have hated the God that you invented, but all of mankind, and it doesn't take long to prove it, just start showing them the God of the Bible, and you will see hatred. You can even show religious folks the God of the Bible, and that will just burn them up. They will get very upset because they hate God. All natural man hates God. The uniqueness of God's love is seen in the display of His love. No one has ever displayed love like God. No one has had a greater love than God, and no one has ever displayed love like the Lord. It was a love that would cause God to plan our salvation. It is a love that would cause God to provide for every detail of our salvation. And it was a plan that would guarantee the salvation of those whom He loved. It was a love that would cause God to give His only begotten Son for sinners who were perishing and for sinners who deserved to perish. No love has sacrificed more. No love has done more than the love of God. It is a love that goes beyond the love of a mother. It is a love that goes beyond the love of a father. It is a love that goes beyond the love of husband and wife or any other kind of love that you want to talk about. There is no love between humans that can even compare, that should even be spoken of in the same breath as the love of God. The uniqueness of God's love is also seen from the fact that it is infinite. In Ephesians 3 and verse 18, we learn that it is a love that has a width. It is a love that has a length. It is a love that has a depth, and it is a love that has a height. What is the width of God's love? No beginning, no ending. The same as its depth, the same as its height. But it is a love that is spoken of with a width, a length, a height. But then in Ephesians 3 and verse 19, at the same time, is a love that cannot be measured. It is a love that passeth knowledge. That is, you can never fully understand the love of God. We just have to realize the fact that it's beyond us. Those three words, He loved us, and you can put me in place of us. You can put your name in place of us if you're saved. And that very fact, we'll never comprehend it. Never. You'll never fully understand it. We just have to come to the realization that it's beyond us. It is a love that is beyond us. It is a love that surpasses all of our needs. It is a love that goes beyond all of our corruption. It is a love that goes beyond all of our depravity. And man is totally 100% depraved. There is what not one iota of good. He is depraved. But it is a love that goes beyond all of that. And it is a love that is invincible. No other love is invincible. I know you people like to think that it's so, but it's not. Only God's love is invincible. There is nothing you could do to cause God to love you, and there's nothing you could do to cause Him not to. It's an invincible love. All of our murmurings, yet He still loves us, and He doesn't love us any less. All of our rebellions, and yet He just keeps on loving us. All of our sin, all of our covetousness, and all of our selfishness, and all of our stubbornness, and all of the times that we wander from God, and all the times that we want nothing to do with God, and we're all like that. There are days when you do not even give God a thought, yet He keeps on. He keeps on loving you. There are days that God just rains His blessings down upon you, and we're just like the hog under the acorn tree. He never looks up to see where the acorns are coming from. Just keeps on eating. We're the same way. Yet God just keeps on. Just keeps on loving us. All of our pride, we have absolutely nothing to be proud about. Nothing. In spite of all of our pride, God keeps loving us. In spite of all our evil thoughts and evil imaginations and all the hardness of heart, how many times we come into the house of God, our hearts are hard, our hearts are cold, God just keeps on. I'm telling you, there is not another person in all the universe that you could treat like you treat God. And that would put up with it. No one. Your mother wouldn't put up with it. Your spouse certainly wouldn't put up with it. Only God would keep on loving such individuals as ourselves. So it is truly a unique love. But what is our response to the love of God? Well, our response is we love Him because He first loved us. Our response is we are to love God. Some will say, well, our response should be obedience. The point is, if you love Him, you will be obedient. Our response is we love Him. Do we love Him like we should? No, it's not possible. No human being can love God like they should. Can we ever love God as He's worthy of being loved? Can't even come close. But we love Him. We love Him. No, we don't love Him like we ought to. No, we certainly do not love Him as He's worthy to be loved. But we love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. That phrase, we love Him because He first loved us, seems to me that the more we believe, the more we know God's love for us, the more we are assured of God's love for us, and the more we feel God's love for us, the more we love Him in return. And it just comes natural. It's not something you have to work at. The more you know about the love of God, you just naturally love God. To love God is reasonable. It's pretty unreasonable not to love God. To love God makes sense. I mean, consider who He is. It would be the lack of all sense not to love God. So it just makes sense. It's logical. He loved us. We ought to love Him. The most illogical, the most unreasonable thing in the world is not to love God. So it's logical that the Lord loves us, again, is somewhat of a mystery. Because there's no reason within ourselves. But we love Him, it says, because there's a reason within God for our love for Him. We love Him because. And then He points to some reason for that love. We love Him because of Himself. We love Him because of who He is. You know, you ask people, why do you love your husband? Why do you love this person or that person? Because of who they are. What happens when they change? What happens if they change to somebody you don't like? You're going to stop loving them? Many times you do. But you see, God doesn't change. We love Him because of who He is. Because of who He is. Because of His holiness. The psalmist in Psalm 116 and verse 1 said, I love the Lord because He hath heard my supplications. So the psalmist was saying, I love the Lord because of what God has done. That's another reason to love God. We love the Lord because of who He is. We love the Lord because of what He has done. But what if God didn't hear your prayers? Would you still love Him? What if God didn't bring any good to your life? Would you still love Him? You ought to, because of who He is. And that's why Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. So our love to God should not just be dependent upon what God does for us. God does terrible things to us, or what we consider terrible things. Shouldn't lessen our love. Because we ought to love Him for who He is, and He hasn't changed. We read in Song of Solomon 5 and verse 16, the bride said, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. Again, she loved Him because of what He was. Because of what He was. Everything about Him is lovely. Everything about Him is lovable. So it makes sense to love Him. Nothing about us is lovely, but yet He loved us. That's why it's mystifying. Nothing about us is lovable, but He loved us. And that's why His love is mystifying. But our love for Him, there should be no mystery. We have many reasons for loving God. We love Him because of what He has done. We love Him because of who He is. But He loves us in spite of what we have done. He loves us in spite of who we are. You know, if God were like us, every day we give Him a reason not to love us. But He's not like us. He's nothing like us. Nothing at all, for which we should be thankful. So the more we realize, the more we are aware of His love for us, the more we know His love for us, the more that we are persuaded that He loves us, the more that we are convinced that He loves us. And people do it all the time. I just can't believe that God loves me. because I'm so rotten. Yes, you are rotten. You are rotten to the core. If you're looking for someone to disagree with you on that, that's not going to happen. You're rotten. The truth is, you don't know how rotten you are. But he said he loves me. That's faith. I've just got to believe he does. I've just got to believe that he does. And the more I believe that, the more I feel his love. And the more I experience his love, then it just comes natural to love him. So this is not a love that you have to work at doing. It's all based upon he loved us. There has to be a genuine belief that he loved us. Do you feel that? Do you know? Do you know the love of God? Have you experienced the love of the Lord? I mean, all we have to do is open our eyes and look around, and the evidence of God's love is everywhere. It's everywhere. He gives us evidence of his love every single day. How can we not love him? How can we not love him in return? And why would we ever act like it's some great thing that we love God? It's the most reasonable thing you can do. You just love the Lord. To know that God loves us and to love him back is to offer more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices of the Old Testament. That's what God wants. Yes, our love is imperfect, but he's pleased when his people love him. Now, our love to God is of extreme importance. All service to God depends upon our love for him. All of our spiritual attitudes is linked to our love for God. Again, herein lies the real problem with most folks. They do not love the Lord. They simply do not love the Lord. If we love God, that is the most important thing about our service to him. But our love for the Lord changes. Just like your love for another individual changes. Changes all the time. Changes. Love can grow cold. Love for the Lord can grow cold. Jesus said so in Matthew 24 and verse 12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So it is possible for our love for the Lord to become stale, become stagnant. It is not possible for his love to become that. But it is possible for our love to become stagnant. It is possible for our love to become very mechanical and routine. You see it all the time with husbands and wives. And our love for God can become that same way. Mechanical, routine. It's very possible for our love for God to become stifled. It's possible for our love to lose something. To lose its fervency. To lose its passion. To lose its excitement, to lose its enthusiasm, and yes, to even lose its interest. And therefore, we are told in the book of Jude, keep thyself in the love of God. That's not talking about God's love for you. You can't keep yourself in that love. You didn't do anything to get it. You can't get anything to keep it. It's talking about our love for God. We have to keep that love. We have to guard it. That is made very plain there in Revelation chapter 2. He's writing to the church of Ephesus. There was a church that they were not apostate. They were still very actively serving the Lord, yet the Lord said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He didn't say that they didn't love him anymore. That's not what he said. He said, you have left your first love. That is, you no longer love me like you first did. It doesn't have the same characteristics of first love. In other words, something was missing in their love for the Lord. Again, people may not like it. But if you have difficulty serving God, I'll tell you why. Something's missing in your love for the Lord. Something's missing. Oh, I love the Lord more than anybody. Then you shouldn't have any problem serving Him. Should be pretty easy. Our problems come when something is missing, when there's a deficiency in our love. Thou hast left thy first love. Thou hast left. God hasn't moved. We depart. We turn away. We abandon that love that we first had. And that love that we first had, though we didn't know much, that love was fervent. That love was intense. It was a love that just flamed forth and boiled over. It was filled with excitement. It was filled with enthusiasm. It was filled with interest. The enthusiasm, the excitement, the interest has died. And it died with love. Because it's love that feeds that excitement and that interest. So our love needs guarding. Our love needs feeding. How do we feed our love to God? We just keep thinking about His love for us. We just keep meditating on His love for us, because that's the reason for our love. You can't just, well, I'm going to try harder and I'm going to work at loving the Lord. That's not how it works. You just meditate on God's love for you. And you just think upon that. And how undeserving you are of His love. And the more you think upon that, you begin to feed your love for God. But it's so important that we guard our love for God. Because the truth is, the more we love Him, the more we will be committed to God. The more that we love God, the more surrendered we will be to the Lord. People say, well, I just have a hard time surrendering. You know why? There's a deficiency in love. That's the reason. Oh, no, that's not the reason. I love the Lord. That's the reason. I'm not saying you don't love Him. I'm saying there's a deficiency in love. And that creates the problem of not surrendering to the Lord. The more we love Him, the more we want to obey Him. The reason people fight obedience, the reason they rebel, is because there is a deficiency. There is a deficiency in their love for the Lord. The more I love God, the nearer I want to be to Him. The closer I want to be to Him. The more I want to think about Him. You know why you don't think about God? Because there's a deficiency in your love. when you met the so-called love of your life, you thought about them all the time. You couldn't eat, you couldn't drink, you couldn't sleep. You just thought about them all the time. If you love God, you'll do the same thing. The more we love God, the more we want to worship Him. The more we want to praise Him. The more we want to thank Him. The more we love God, the more we'll love His Word. The more we love God, the more we'll love His day. The more we'll love His law. The more we'll love His people. Love for God cures a lot of things. It really does. And a deficiency in our love creates many a problem. The more we love God, the more we want to be what He wants us to be. The more we want to be like Him, the more we want to please Him, the more we want to be in the very center of His will. Again, if we're constantly fighting God's will, that's not the real problem. The real problem is a deficiency in love for the Lord. You get that problem straightened out, and I guarantee you, being in the center of God's will be straightened out as well. The more we love God, the greater the desire to know Him. The greater the desire to serve Him. The greater the desire to tell others about Him. The greater the desire is to be filled with the ways of God. Why is it today that so many who profess to know the Lord, they fight tooth and nail against the very ways of God? Because there's a deficiency in their love. The more that we love God, the more we desire to be used of God. The more we want to be identified with Him. It's the more we want to be tied to Him, linked to Him, bound to Him, intertwined with Him, weaved to Him. The more we love Him, the more we want to be associated with God. Why is it that so many who profess to be saved want to be intertwined with the world? It's because they have greater love for the world than they do God. And I know people just can't stand this. They can't. They disagree, but it's the truth. Love to God solves a lot of problems. The more we love Him, the more willing we are to stoop. The more willing we are to let go of our own ways, the more willing we are to let go of our own plans and then forget about it and think nothing of it because we love Him. If you do something for somebody because you love them, you don't constantly remind them. You don't remind your children after they're grown how many diapers you changed and how you did this and how you did that. You did it because you loved them. And it's the same with love to God. We do it and we forget about it because we love the Lord and we love doing it because we love the Lord. The more we love God, the more He becomes my purpose for living. You can put all your love into your spouse. You can put all your love into your children. You can wrap your entire life around them. And then one day they die. And you cease to live. You now have nothing to live for. But that'll never be the case if God is your reason for living. The more we love Him, the more He becomes our purpose. And the more meaningful our lives become. To love God, you can't have a more meaningful life than just simply loving the Lord. The more we love Him, the more dominating influence He is in our lives. The more we'll seek Him, the more He becomes our goal and our pattern. The more zealous we will be. The reason that zeal is dying is because the love of many has waxed cold. That's the reason. The reason folks struggle to come to church, same reason. The reason they struggle to find time to read the Word of God and find time to talk with God. Think about that. Think about if you have problems talking with God. Do you realize how serious that is? That you have a problem making time for God? If God just had 1 second where He had a problem making time for you, you would cease to exist. And yet, so many times, God's people have difficulty finding time to fit God in. It's sickening. It really is. Again, only God we could treat that way. And He still loves us. The more that we love God, the more enabled we are to endure difficulties. And the more we love God, the better our outlook and attitude upon life. Everything changes to the degree that we love God. And the more we love God, the further we are willing to go for Him. How far are you willing to go for God? Again, we can preach about it. We can talk about it. We can sing about it. But it doesn't mean a thing. How far are we willing to go for God? You can preach about, a man can stand up and preach about how far he's willing to go to God, and he's not even willing to give up anything. Easier said than done. You can sing about it, how you're willing to give up everything, but you're not even willing to walk across the street and tell your neighbor about the Lord. How far are we willing to go? That tells us how deep our love runs for the Lord. Remember, the Lord asked Peter 3 times, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" Wasn't talking about the fish. Wasn't saying, "Peter, do you love me more than these fish?" That's ridiculous. If you remember, Peter said, when the Lord said that you will deny me, he said, "Though all of these deny thee, Lord, I'm not me." He's saying, "Peter, do you love me more than these other apostles love thee?" Peter said, "Thou knowest, Lord, that I love thee." 3 times. And I believe those questions simply tell us that we need to inspect our love. We need to inspect it. Oh, it's very easy. It's very easy just to make a blanket statement, "I love the Lord." Very easy to make the blanket statement, "I love the Lord more than my family," yet family reunion comes up and it comes before church. But don't forget, "I love the Lord more than my family. I love the Lord more than my job. I love the Lord more than this, more than that." But anytime there's a conflict, the Lord comes out in the short end. But we love the Lord. Anybody can make that blanket statement. And the truth is, we can make that statement and most folks will never question it. But I believe when the Lord asked Peter 3 times, "Lovest thou me?" He's telling us we need to examine. We need to examine our love. When we say that we love the Lord, we need to really, truly examine it. And we're not saying that people don't love the Lord. But if we took an honest look at our love, there are a lot of deficiencies. And again, we know we can't love the Lord like He deserves. It's not possible. But do we love Him? Are you willing to inspect your love for the Lord? I mean, look at it. Examine it closely. Because I'm telling you, that will fix a lot of problems. It'll fix a lot of problems in our lives. A lot of things will never even be an issue if we just love the Lord more. And if we live till tomorrow, we ought to love Him more tomorrow than we do today. We ought to get up in the morning. We ought to read God's Word. We ought to think about God's love for us. We ought to thank Him for loving us. think about his love, and how can you not love him in return? But there are folks that have gone for years and they never stop and think, God loves me. Wake up in the morning, God loves me. In spite of everything I did yesterday and in spite of everything I didn't do, God loves me. That's wonderful. That's amazing love. It's all that we would feel, the love of God, that we would feel it, that we would experience it, so that we can love him more. Our lives would be so much better. Brother Larry, you come and lead us.